Next Step 313, June 5th, 2014.
This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vosgen. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vosgen provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchise members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vosgen, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 313 of The Next Step, a podcast that looks at life one of the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy. And though we may be the only ones doing it, we polish it up for today and give you this unique Orthodoxy look. This is a podcast that comes to you as part of the expanding vision of the Unishu Mission and is brought to you by the cool folks at epostle.net. If you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. Doesn't that put you in the mood? I love that. Yeah, what is that? A little bit of Boston with a Susie overdub? You know, how good does it get? Well, it's putting me in the mood because I got to be honest with you. I am not in the mood. I am just like, oh, I'm in that awful funk that I've been in for a while. And especially today, just kind of like creeped up on me. Had a lot of stuff going on this morning. It's been a wild morning already, but I am sitting at Epostle East in beautiful Pasadena, California. And I'm coming to you with a lot of thoughts today. A lot of thoughts. So I hope you're ready. I'm going to share with you a lot of stuff that's going on. Maybe unpleasant stuff. Unpleasant stuff, a little bit complicated stuff. But we are getting ready to end our sixth year of broadcasting. Yes, I was just talking with Susie a couple nights ago. We were discussing our next step. Yes, the next step of the next step. We were talking about where we're going with this, especially as the seventh year approaches. You know, we have been broadcasting every Thursday, religiously, no pun intended, to a worldwide audience. We started off 6 years ago, 7 years ago, never really expecting that we'd be here. I don't know why, right? Kind of leave it to God. It's His expectations, our expectations. I don't know how that all works. Expectations, His will. Whatever it is. You leave it to God, and then you kind of all of a sudden wake up one day and you see people are writing into you, people are celebrating with you, sharing with you, they're praying with you. Wow, how wild is that? Huh? Did you ever think that we'd be praying as a world? You know, you think about like one world getting together and praying commonly. I mean, imagine through the means of technology all the things that we can do. Anyway, we are just an episode off of completing our sixth year. We'll be completing that next week, and I'll have a wonderful announcement for you next week as we talk about what we're going to be doing for our seventh year coming up. And God willing, that should be coming up in July. So we're excited about all the wonderful things that are happening here at Apostle. Today, as I said, I'm in a very weird funk. A lot of stuff has been happening. I'm going to share with you some things. Actually, what I was going to share with you that is really pressing on my heart deeply, especially today. I'm going to wait till after, do it in the second half of our show, especially because this Sunday is Pentecost. It is a very important day for me personally. And the reason is because I've dedicated myself to the product of that Pentecost, namely to the church. And now that we find that our church is really, it's in a sadder place than you might want to admit or accept, it's a difficult one for me because you've got a life that comes in with it, right? I mean, as a priest, you've dedicated your life to this mission, to Christ, and to his church, his body. And then at some point you realize that, well, what are you serving? Anyway, I want to share that with you. It's not an easy topic, and I hope you will not be offended with what we're going to be talking about today. Actually, both of our topics. Let me begin right now, because last week, as I was sharing with you the concept of ascension, how we need to ascend, to go beyond resurrection, and really ascend to a place that really is that perfection. And so it was the following morning that I was at church, and we had scheduled what is, I guess let's crudely call it a grave blessing. In Armenian circles, this is what it's called, a grave blessing. I don't like that name. What is there to bless about a grave, right? But really what it is it's an opportunity for people, family, to get together, remember a loved one, to offer a prayer, remember some stories, and to share some memories, and at the same time to comfort one another. And I love that word in the English language. In Armenian, it doesn't work out quite as well, but in English, it's beautiful. It's comfort, coming together and being a fort, being strength. And isn't that beautiful? You know, when someone had a loss, you get together and you comfort one another. And certainly that's what we were doing last Friday. The victim, the lady who had passed away 6 years ago, was a neighbor of our church. And it was 6 years ago to the day that she was murdered in a incident of domestic violence. And she lived in a house, it's a duplex, what we call here in America, these duplexes. In other words, there's two houses next to each other. The parents lived in one house, she lived in the other house. And she was murdered in the first house. And I'll never forget, I was at the church the day that happened. And there was police action. And, you know, Glendale, I've always shared with you, too, that Glendale's like a small town that wants to be big. They have to kind of, like, show who they are and everything. So imagine, like, there's like this murder happening, and there's people who need comforting, who need assistance. And I'm the priest right across the street, and I'm trying to get into the line. You know, in any other city, I've worked in many other cities, any other city, if they see a priest, oh, please come in, help. But Glendale, huh? Sorry, Father, can't let you in, you know. So it was a very surrealistic afternoon. I'll never forget it for that reason, too. I was sitting in the church looking out at my parishioner who was across the street, who also later on, she told me, I'm talking about the mother, a mother of the victim, who told me she kept asking the police, please let me go to my church. I just want to get out, you know, having witnessed her daughter in a pool of blood. And it was one of the most bizarre acts and one of the most tragic events in anyone's life, and certainly in mine, when I look at 30 years of being a priest, 30 plus years, and so many different events. And this one was really beyond belief. And it was several days later that we finally got a chance to meet with the family. And I have to tell you, in the 6 years, I cannot think of a couple that I'm closer to in my life. These are people that went through tragedy and found the comfort in God. And I've got to be honest with you, it's not the God that everyone thinks about. It's not like they had this big spiritual awakening. It's that they got involved in a community. They got involved in the church community where God's love was manifested by the people that they met, the people that came out, the people that shared with them, that touched them, that embraced them. And they, in turn, too, embraced other people. As you know, every year we do the toy drive, and it's named after this victim. And so we had opportunity for them to grow, to go from just exactly what I told you last week. You know, we went from crucifixion to resurrection, and now we were at the point of ascension. Let me just repeat this from, this is from last week. It's very simple. At crucifixion, you have the ultimate suffering, right? You have the difficulties. At resurrection, you have overcome those sufferings. But the wounds are still open. You still hurt. At ascension, the wounds heal. And you're on the road. You're moving up. Okay, you're moving up. You're out of there. And I have to be honest with you, though, for this family, as tragic as this is, there is a point of ascension that we're at right now with them. And so this was that Friday. This was last Friday I was with them, and we had a chance to be together for the day. And we shared with one another beautiful stories, thoughts about about their daughter, and of course about the last 6 years, about how we have grown as a community, how we have grown in our relationship to one another, and we have been able to really pass along God's love through this vehicle called the church. And let me just put this in a parenthesis. A few weeks ago, someone came and asked me, they said, somebody needs a prayer. And they want you to go over and pray for them because they're going through some really rough times, health issues and everything like that. And certainly you want to reach out and you want to get there. But it's not about a magical prayer that's done. It's about finding that community, finding the strength. It's about finding God in the relationships that you have. It's not about magic and thunderbolts coming out of the sky and saying, okay, you're cured now. But it's really being embraced by a group of people, embraced with the love of God inside people's hearts. And certainly this is what I see has happened to this family. And of course, this is one of the incidents that prompted us to form what we call the Dativ Outreach. It's to give out wings, the Dativ, to give wings. But even more, it's a means by which we apply the love of God in our heart. And we go through the church and we apply that love. And so violence hurts, but love conquers. Well, what does that mean? Is it just abstract? No, it's not abstract. Love is not abstract. We touch it. We feel it. And I've shared with you on countless times that, you know, I don't buy into this whole thing about love being the three kinds, about eros and filial and agape. No, love is, that's why in the Armenian language, we don't separate it. It is said. One word that has agape, unconditional, that has filial in there, that has that brotherly love, that has erotic love in there too, that is so overwhelming that it takes over your senses. And this all comes together. And I think we apply that. Once you apply that kind of love, that powerful love, you've got the formula for creation, don't you? Right? Isn't that what creation is all about? God creating, God taking nothing and making something. Isn't that what it is? Love creating. And once that's created, it's overwhelming, right? And we see examples of that. Okay, so I talked about what's going on. That was happening Friday, and I believe it was that night. I was with these thoughts still fresh in my head. Linda had posted something on her Facebook page, which happened to come from Armenian Chronicles, and it was called Slut Shaming, an Armenian Epidemic. And I've got to tell you, this speaks very close to my heart. I've been doing a youth ministry now for 12 years, and during the early parts of the youth ministry, when we first got on that corner in Glendale, I know this was a big topic, which we had countless discussions about with a lot of the kids that would come by. We've we've since that time, unfortunately, lost some of our space, but it's so important that we encourage this electronic medium, this electronic forum, because it makes up for that lack of space. And there it was, slut shaming. Let me read it with you, parts of it, okay? It comes from a blog, Slut Shaming an Armenian Epidemic, by Sonader Yerishyan. It is frustrating to grow up in a culture that is so fixed on sexualizing my body that sometimes I no longer feel that it belongs to me. The same culture that brands me a slut if I choose to be sexually active, but labels me as a prude if I am still a virgin at 23. This assault on my sex life, or rather suppression of female sexuality, is toxic. This is the same culture that is constantly sending mixed messages and contradictory expectations of what it means to be a woman worthy of respect. I am caught in a catch-22 situation, and it is impossible to get out unscathed. Now, I'm going to put a link to this blog, and I really invite you to read this. It's an important blog. It's important because this is what's going on right now within the Armenian community, and you know what? I would venture to say goes on in many, many communities, particularly ethnic communities. But let's not fool ourselves. I think mainstream America, also, when you see the obsession with sex, when you see the popularity of childish or adolescent humor, I mean, everywhere you go, you turn on TV. I mean, there's no more humor, is there? Right? There's nothing any more humor. What do you do? If you put in a few guys, adolescents together, they talk about women breasts, they talk about bathroom, going to the bathroom, doing this, they talk about sexual escapades, and the girls chitter and chatter, and this has a laugh track attached to it, so you know that it's supposed to be funny. Now, think about that, right? The laugh track is put on by who? The producers. In other words, they're cueing you. They're telling you, this may not be funny, but let's laugh at it anyway. And so you hear that, and then you know that, okay, this is supposed to be a joke. Well, you know, there's this obsession in culture. And I really invite you to read this because, you know, there's a couple things. One of them is that we're discounting the huge impact that sexual relationships are having on the development and personality of people, discounting in the sense that we're just kind of like overriding it. We're saying that, okay, this is mainstream, accept it. But, you know, sex is not that casual. Casual sex is kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Because at some point there is an intimacy, and that intimacy, it brings about with it feelings, it brings about with it emotions, and to separate those two sometimes can be very rough. And I'm saying that if you don't gauge it, if you don't look at it, you can really get people messed up. And so this is what this blog is talking about. But in the same breath, I always like to mention too, don't forget, sex has a practical reason. It creates offsprings. It creates the next generation. Well, think about it. Think about all those kids. I mean, we laugh. We have the laugh track on. We're having sex and all that. But what about those kids that are being born? What kind of lifestyle, what kind of life are you presenting to those children who are being born out of these sexual unions, okay? So, just to recap, okay, I was talking about this one girl across the street from the church. She went through domestic violence, the healing of the family. I'm talking about, like, this girl talking about slut bashing, slut shaming, and the importance of that, that we discuss it. And certainly for me, this is an important topic that I think that the church, like it or not, as embarrassed as you get or you don't get, needs to be addressing, because it is about the human condition. And you have to believe, at least this is what my faith is, that if Christ were here right now, these would be the issues that he'd be talking about. Okay? These are not things that he would shy away from. Because they are pressing issues, and it's not a question of just having casual sex. It's the discussion about the self-worth issues. It's the discussion about the children. It's about what you're leaving, about what the actions today do in your life tomorrow, how you develop as an individual. These are all issues that I think that as Christians, when we say Christ And it's so important. I can't emphasize this enough. This is not a gender issue. This is a human issue. And that's what Christ was about. There is neither male nor female in Christ. That's what Christ is about. The human condition. Okay? Now, there was one more in this trilogy of blogs, okay, or events, let's say. And this is, again, a blog, and again, posted by Linda. I'm so thankful that she does post these. Part of it because of her own interest in the subject matter, and also because of the work that she's doing within DOTEV Outreach, trying to get this to the forefront within the community, educating the community. But this one is called One of the Most Important Parts of Sex is something that we skip over, and that's the basic communications to say yes I want it or no I don't. Now this is a video, and again there'll be a link on our show notes, so do check it out. Ladies talking about basic communications, yes and no, and the importance of that no, that respect, and being able to communicate that. Now so important. I cannot emphasize how important that all three of these topics really tie in with one another. I have the sexual abuse, the domestic violence situation, which led to a death. In that death, we saw an opportunity to rise from crucifixion to resurrection to ascension by the family coming together. There was a talk about slut shaming and about the condition of women. Okay, again, do we need to go to that crucifixion to get to that resurrection? Wouldn't it be great if now we are at that ascension, we can start talking about this? And so I talk about the slut shaming, and then from the slut shaming, now we're talking about the importance of communication, of saying what you mean. Yes and no, both important. And I'm sure you're seeing the tie in between all of these events, between these writings. And I think it's important that we as church start talking about these things without embarrassment, in a very healthy and dignified manner, without the laugh track on there. You know, let's be open with it, and we need to get there. Now, I'm committed. You know, we're going to be next few weeks, we're going to be putting together some of the programming for the coming year, and I'm committed really to be talking about these issues, because I think we need to push ourselves. I'm going to be writing about this hopefully this weekend, and we'll have a little blog up there too, and I'd love to hear your comments. Okay, we're going to do a little bit of different song of the day today. And you know that a couple weeks ago we lost Maya Angelou. And it was a bigger loss than I really expected on myself, because I realized how important she was in my life, the inspiration that she had given. I'm going to play for you a small little selection. This is on a CD. It's called The Church, Songs of Soul and Inspiration. Here is the late and great Maya Angelou, Dr. Maya Angelou, doing It's Sacred, Church. Enjoy.
It's sacred, church. Everything in God's world is sacred. Trees and toads and little girls' eyes, grandfather's hands and the murmuring voices of lovers, all sacred. A poet's dream, almanac compilers, and rocks that look up at the moon, all sacred. Everything can be church. And anything can be church. Church was the first public place where I came, child to spirit, to Christ. Suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven, church. Literally, church introduced me to my very first friend. Louise and I both thought the preacher talked too long, Mrs. Sneed sang too loudly, and Brother Williams got too wild when he prayed. We both giggled at the same time and cried just as piteously when we were chastised. Every time I feel the Spirit, I know I am immersed in the essence of church. That knowledge changes my voice. I speak more softly and choose my words more carefully. There are more yes ma'ams and no ma'ams and yes sirs and no sirs in my conversation. Out of my heart, out of my brain, More thank yous slide across my tongue. I am blessed. I am in church. Church is not the luggage I bear, nor the cloak I wear. It is neither the hat I sport, nor the shoes which carry me around my world. It is not my destination, nor my place of departure. The breadth and depth and width and height of church cannot be defined, but church can define me always. It slides the skin over my muscles and allows my lungs to inspirate and fill so that hallelujah, like rain, comes from my mouth. Hallelujah falls like rain from my lips. Church is where I go when I want a certain fulfillment, and church is where I don't have to go because it is always with me, holding me up, propelling me forward, sustaining me. When I think about church and remember that church and I are one, I am reminded that everything in God's world is sacred. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. My name is Maya Angelou.
Okay, do I give you quality or what? How was that, huh? The late and great Dr. Maya Angelou. I hope you enjoyed it. A little bit different from the song of the day, but you got a little bit of singing in there too. But it certainly gives us an opportunity to really showcase somebody great. I'm going to put a link to her as well. Last week, I had written up some notes, and I eventually ended up just writing those rather than sharing them on the podcast. I did want to do a dedication to her somehow, because she has been so influential in American life, and I think this is what's important. When church can become influential in life, this whole idea about separation of church and state is brought about because of the fundamentalists who just don't know how to make that bridge. And when you hear people like Dr. Maya Angelou, you just realize, wow, you know, here's somebody who naturally is making that bridge. Anyway, I did want to do something, and I hope that somewhere down the line, maybe we'll do it maybe Armenian style. Maybe we'll have a karsunk for her, a 40th day of her passing, and do something special for her. But today, I just wanted to share that little recitation with you because it leads to our next segment, the Pentecost.
A young girl in a parking lot was preaching to a crowd, singing sacred songs and reading from the Bible. Well, I told her I was lost, and she told me all about the Pentecost, and I seen that girl was the road to my survival.
The Pentecost, it is here. It is 50 days after Easter, and on this day, according to Scripture, the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples and turned them into apostles. Disciples being students, and now apostles being ones who are sent. Now, this is traditionally known as the birth of the church. And as I've mentioned to you a million, million times, right, God gave us something so precious, more precious than the Bible. I know, I shouldn't say that. Where's the thunderbolts? Are they going to be coming down? Well, no, because I'm telling you the truth. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ. Yes, get with the program. Christ did not give us the Bible. Christ gave us his holy body, his precious body. And he said, this is my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it was the church that later in history we see that produced the Bible. What we have is the Bible, and that's fine. You know, it's a matter of history, and we call it the breath of God because it is inspired by God. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. But you got to put it all into perspective. And Christ gives us a tool by which his message is communicated to the world. Yes, that's right. The church is that vehicle. It is his body. Now, this is what we give ourselves to the body, right? And as a priest, I am committed to that church because I am committed to what? To Christ, right? I mean, think about it, right? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? I mean, what other reason? What? To learn a language? What? To eat good food? I mean, to go to picnics? To have bazaars? To play bingo? This is why I serve the church? No, I serve the church because it is the body of Christ. And once you forget that, once you lose that link, nothing else really can take that the place of that link. You've got to make that link. And tragically, unfortunately, I'm at a point right now where I'm seeing that after all these years that we've been serving, and I say all these years, of course, the church is 2,000 years old. My petty 30 years on that 2,000 tradition is really hardly anything that I need to talk about, but it does hurt on a personal level because you do see that at the end of 30 years, you start evaluating all that and you say, well, where are we? Where are we as a community? Where are we as a church? You still got your bingos, you still got your bazaars, you still got all of the other excesses that take away from the centrality of Christ. And I'm not against any of the social things. I mean, it'd be great to have a big dinner party. Yeah, because we're hungry, because we want to get together with some friends. Right? You want to get together with your family. But don't you resent it when people say, you know, like, come to the dinner dance so you can support the church? Whoa. That's really out there, isn't it? You got to come to bingo to support the church. What? Why don't you just say, let's go have a bingo game because I want to play. I need some extra cash. I need to make some money, okay? So I'm going to go and gamble. Okay, I'd rather be honest and say it that way and say, this is supporting the church. And it's the same thing with everything that we do. There is a message in the church that is so powerful, and we're ignoring it. The Holy Spirit has spoken to the apostles, and the apostles went out to the world and shared this message. I was looking at some pictures the other day of a friend who's in Armenia. And these kids are out there in the beautiful surroundings of Armenia with Mount Ararat and these beautiful monasteries. And they're making these statements about the monasteries, just the serenity that surrounds these monasteries and these beautiful places, you know, much like the vortexes, you know, these are vortexes where they, well, there's no connection. Nobody's making the connection that that monastery is there as a shrine to praise God. That monastery is there because of a deep-seated, deep-rooted faith in Jesus Christ. Phone covers, smartphone covers, and there are carvings, etchings of Armenian cross stones, of Armenian alphabet. You know, just beautiful, beautiful carvings. And they're making it available so you know you can personalize your smartphone and talk. And, you know, I look at those. And I think about those designs. You know, the cross stones, the chachkars, were made because of a person's. Sometimes it took an entire lifetime. Person's commitment to the Christian message, to Christ as a central figure in his or her life. You look at the Armenian alphabet. 36 beautiful letters, symmetrical, making up a 6x6 matrix of art and design. It's not happened by accident. It was put together for a purpose, to get the message of Jesus Christ out to the Armenian people. And today, all of this, whether it's the monastery, whether it's the phone case, or if it's a cigarette case. I mean, don't put it past them. There's going to be cigarette cases, lighter cases that are made out of these beautiful symbols. And it's not about that. It doesn't matter if it's a phone case or a cigarette case. The thing is that this art was created. Remember what we talked about? Love created? Remember what we talked about just a few minutes ago? Love created. This was all created with a central purpose of promoting, of getting out a message of love, of peace, of harmony. Now, that's in the church. People aren't finding that in the church. And so this is why we're finding that the churches are empty. And one of the problems is that we don't believe in it. The church leadership doesn't believe in it. Why? Because, well, we're selling other things. Right? Come and support your church by coming to a dinner. Support your church by playing basketball. Support your church by playing a game of bingo. Well, you know what that is? It's like your store, right? You've got a grocery store, and you've got the greatest peaches in the world. They're just to die for. You know, the kind that you put your teeth in them, and then the sugar and the sweetness and the water and the juiciness of that. Oh, it's so good. And instead of talking about that peach, you put up a sign and you say, come and check out our bathrooms. They're the cleanest on the street. What? Did we miss something? Hey, aren't you the guy with that great peaches? Well, it's the same thing. The Armenian church has Christ in the center of it. I mean, every Sunday, the Holy Eucharist is saying, here is God presented to you. Now, do we believe this? If we do, why aren't we out there promoting it? Instead, we're out there promoting other stuff. Food fairs, bazaars, bingo games. Getting together. Let's put everybody together. And this is not just an Armenian church problem. This is problem throughout. I think it's just a pattern of churches. Churches all start out with good intentions, but it's a pattern that happens. I know here in Pasadena, there's a bunch of what there's quote-unquote called evangelical. I don't call them evangelical at all. I call them Protestant, Armenian Protestant churches that have it as, they have beautiful basketball facilities. So they've put it out there that you can play basketball here, provided you come to the Bible study. Okay, it's like, it's the old bait and switch, right? Right? I mean, used car salesmen do this, right? They tell you, hey, look at this. We've got a brand new 2014 Corolla that we're going to let you have for $199 a month. And then when you get in there and they say, well, you know, that Corolla is a little bit small. And there's a Camry over there. And that Camry, by the way, comes with extra gold plating on the exterior. And look at the leather seats. And so by the time you finish the deal, you're at $350, maybe $399 for this a month for this car that you didn't come in to get. And these poor kids have come to play basketball. I don't blame them. They want to go and have some fun. All of a sudden, hey, here you got to listen to about Job, and you got to hear about King Solomon and all this stuff. Holy moly. Are we so unsure of our product that we can't just label it as salvation? Here is the salvation to your soul. Here is Jesus Christ, the one who will move you. We just heard Maya Angelou, didn't we? What did she talk about the church? Didn't we just hear what she was saying about the church? Guess what? Black America had that experience. Had that experience of revolution. Guess what? The Armenian people had that experience of revolution. Guess what? Humanity had that experience of revolution. Jesus Christ came into this world and gave a revolution, unlike any other. And the minute that we forget that, the minute we start crowding it and polluting it with other stuff, we've lost the game. We've lost what this is about. And I'm at that point right now. I'm at that point where I'm conceding. I'm saying it is a loss. And I share this with you, my Next Step listeners, because I know where we're at. We're at a point where we need to do something about it. And I've said this from the beginning of the Next Step, right? That's what we based this on. That's what we called it, the Next Step. What's the next step that we take? If we're going to have a revolution, what is that next step that we take? I was thinking about that the other night. And all of a sudden, this little tune comes into my head. It's John Lennon saying, "The dream is over."
What can I say? The dream is over.
And it kept playing in my head over and over. The dream is over. And it was sad, I have to tell you. I was very sad. Part of the reason why I'm in this funk right now. The dream is over. So I went and I dug up that song. Where is that song? Song it was? It's a song called God, in which Lennon challenges us. He says, God is a concept by which we measure our pain.
God is a concept by which we measure our pain.
God is a concept by which we measure our pain.
God is
yeah,
a concept.
Suffering, crucifixion, by resurrection, ascension. And then we get to the point where what does he say? He says the dream is over. Well, that's after a list of different people, a list of different traditions, a list of different quote-unquote gods, including what Lennon describes as the final god, which was the Beatles, right? And he says, I don't believe in Beatles. After he says, I don't believe in all of these different things. The dream is over. You know, I don't mean to get you depressed. As depressed as I am, I don't know whether to laugh, cry. I'm being honest with you. I'm seeing so much in the church. You don't know whether to laugh. You don't know whether to cry and feel bad for it. I do know one thing. Because if you really believe in the church, if you really believe that this is Christ's body, you have to make a change. And I'm at that point right now. I have to make a change. I need to accelerate it. I need to push on the gas a little bit, okay? Because with all of the criticism that I've expressed here, my biggest criticism is towards me. Because after I go through all of this and look about the people in Armenia standing in front of the monasteries and not understanding that Christ is inside, when I look at the web pages with the beautiful artwork, with the khachkars and the cigarette lighters and the smartphone covers with beautiful Armenian church ornamentation, I say, where is Christ? I then turn the camera on me and I say, where is Christ in my life? And that's the saddest part. That we as priests, we as people, are not expressing the joy of Christ in our lives. We're not sharing the joy of Christ in our lives. And I could give you 1,000 reasons why we're not doing that. I'm not going to share with you those reasons, but I'm sharing with you a reality. When you look out there, you go into the churches, are we sharing that Christ? And I got to tell you, I see my own hypocrisy. How do I witness to Christ in my works and in my deeds? And when I see the failings that I have, I better understand the failings of the church, because the church is made up of people just like me. But that's not the excuse, is it? The church has to be sacred. The church has to be holy. And you have to keep it up higher. And yes, you have to be idealistic about it. You have to be a dreamer about it. We're talking about ascension and ascending into that perfect state. Well, what is that perfect state but the dream, the ultimate dream? Okay, we fall short. Looking at ourselves, we're critical of ourselves, but now I'm asking us collectively to be critical of where we are as a church and realize that we need to move forward. We need to get out of this slump that we're in. We need to correct the problems that we have internally. And the only way that that's going to come is with an honest dialogue, and that's not happening. It's not going to happen. Because you know that all institutions have one basic bottom line to them. What is their purpose? Is self-propagation. And to self-propagate, you maintain the status quo. You do not change, you do not rock the boat for fear that you're going to fall into the water. And so I get at that point right now in my ministry and who I am. I need to rock the boat because I can't live with myself knowing that we're not doing these things. And so in a sense, what I'm doing is I'm giving you a little prequel. I'm giving you the first part of what's coming up, of what you're about to hear in the next few weeks. What you're going to hear coming out of our mouth, coming out of this ministry. And I want you to be part of that ministry. I want you to understand our pain, the crucifixions. I want you to share in the celebration of the resurrections. And I want you to ascend with us. Because we do have to do it. We have to push ourselves. And so here you go. Here's your open invitation. It's the first invitation. There'll be some more coming along. And take a break right now. Let Susie tell you about what we're doing over here. I'll be back in a few minutes, okay?
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
You know, I want to thank all of you who do support the Next Step with your prayers, with your donations. I know you believe in it, and that's why I'm being so candid with you today. If we believe in it, we have to take it to the next step. We have to really accelerate it. And I think this is going to mean for us to be talking about it, getting the word out, spreading the word, and I know so many of you do that, and I appreciate it, but we do need to accelerate it to the next level. And that's going to mean some writing, some time away, some retreat time to get things together. I would love to hear from you, and I'm throwing this out, an open invitation to engage in a dialogue. You're always welcome to drop me an email, feedback@epostle.net. Always gets to me. You can go on our website. I would love it if you just started engaging in some dialogues on Facebook, you know, whether it's on the Epostle page, on my page personally. Just engage in some of these dialogues because, you know, a lot of times we put up something and we get people who will do a thumbs up. There is no thumbs down on Facebook, I learned. Somebody was asking me the other day about Facebook. I said, well, did they get any thumbs downs? And they go, no, there's no thumbs down on Facebook. Yeah, and that's true. Yeah, you either like it, and if you don't like it, you're just silent about it, right? Isn't that like what Mom taught us, right? If you can't say something good about somebody, don't say it. Okay, so there's no dislike. It's just like. Anyway, do like us on Facebook. And do engage in that dialogue. Listen, I want to be really honest with you. Next few weeks, we're going to be doing some adjustments. We're going to be preparing for the Next Step seventh anniversary and the seventh year of the Next Step. And that's going to be launched on 7/17/14. So that is July 17th. And I'm giving you a little prequel to that. We'll talk a bit more about it next week as we conclude our sixth year of broadcast. And in so doing, we invite all of you to get involved over here. It's going to be a lot of good stuff. So please hang in there and hang with us, okay? Listen, I'm going to call it a day right now. I hope I was able to share with you some of my thoughts and my pains, really, during this very, very difficult time, whether it's about the issues that we're seeing on the streets through the abuse of women or the issues we're seeing in the church through the misunderstanding of non-understanding of where our goal and mission should be in Christ and in salvation. We are at the end of today's podcast. I want to invite you to join us again next week. Join us again, of course, on the website throughout the week, on Facebook. Like us. Do not dislike us. Like us. For Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, Vahir, our webman, this is Ron Hoskin. Join us again next week when we will take the next.
And be blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Voskin. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have The Next Step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off by one top limits.